أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويسألونك ماذا ينفقون قل العفو كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون في الدنيا والآخرة ويسألونك عن اليتامى قل إصلاح لهم خير وَإِن تُخَالِطُوهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَأَعْنَتَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. There are three questions that the Sahaba Ikram had presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first being about fighting in the sacred months, then the second about consuming wine and gambling. The hadith declares this to be the root of all sins, wine and apart from being the root of all vice, it is the root of all types of indecency. The elements that are contained in wine and intoxicants are also contained in gambling, because often these things lead towards quarrels, disputes, arguments, fights, damage of property and persons. What is found in wine is found in the games of chance as well, for the one person's prosperity is subject to the next person's failure. The one that has failed, then how irritated he becomes, how frustrated he becomes, that this person has taken the sweat of my wealth with a small game of chance. Just a game of chance, and all my money, all my wealth has been transferred and shifted to him. So he's really frustrated, infuriated with this person, and then this leads to quarrels, fights, disputes. Apart from all this, the hadith has cursed every person that comes in the production of wine, be it the person that is squeezing and manufacturing it, be it the one that is transporting it, be it the one that is serving it, be it the one that is selling it or purchasing it, be it the one that is being manufactured for. So all these people that come in the line of the production of wine are all cursed. So these two prohibitions, wine and game of chance, have been put in one question, put phrased in one question, wine and games of chance. For the Sahaba Ikram found that there were some advantages, so Allah Ta'ala made it a law that when the harms are greater than the good, then this is not good for your consumption. Though there may be some good in gambling, that overnight you can become a millionaire, you can become a very wealthy person, but when you look at it from a different perspective, then the harms in these type of things are far in excess of the good. So this becomes a law in the Sharia, that when you see anything that is more harmful than good, then this becomes impermissible. The other aspect that is to be studied in gambling is that this is such a practice that is not providing any type of service to a community at large. Man makes a few moves with a game of chance and he wins. So he is not productive, he is not creative, he is not providing any type of service to community. He's just sitting on his laurels and is earning without providing any type of service, any type of benefit to humanity at large. So it makes a whole community unproductive, lazy, and not wanting to do anything, not wanting to progress. The definition of gambling that is given by most fuqaha and ulama kiram is that you pay to get into a transaction, paying to get into something, and the reward thereof is subject to an uncertain event. You get into a lottery, you pay 10 rands, for example, And the reward of that lottery is based on an uncertain event. The one that pulls out your number and gives you that million, you do not know whether your name is going to appear or not. So all this is uncertain. So this is the definition of gambling, that you're paying to enter something and the reward thereof is based on a purely uncertain event. If you look at it with careful scrutiny, the same applies to all type of insurances, that you have paid 10 rands, for example, to get into a motor car insurance scheme or a medical insurance scheme, and the turnover and the payment in the event of an accident is 1 million rand. You just paid one contribution and there was a motor car accident, 10 rands, and then your payout is 1 million rand. So there is no difference between a lottery game and motor car insurance or any other type of insurance for that matter. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. And they also ask you about how much are they supposed to be spending. Allah Ta'ala's command is to spend in His path in avenues of good, in avenues of compassion and avenues of kindness. So how much are they supposed to be spending? See, whatever is easy, whatever is beyond your needs. In this manner, Allah Ta'ala explains to you His commands that you may consider their bearings in this life and the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala has not made the command so tight and difficult that whatever you earn, you give it out in His path. And He hasn't made it so relaxed that you don't have to spend anything. So it is an in-between path. You know that your objective is the hereafter. Your life begins with death. So your investment for that part of life, اللَّهُمَّ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed out, that real life is after death. So what have you invested for that real life? For a temporary security, you have done a lot, investments, insurance, policies, etc. But what policy and security have you invested, have you secured for the life after death? So He has explained to you His commands that you may consider their bearings on this life and the hereafter. And again, they ask you concerning the offense. This is the third question that the Sahaba Ikram had put forth before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, the best thing to do in the case of offense is that which is good for them. And if you mix your affairs and wealth with theirs, then they are your brethren. And Allah Ta'ala knows the person that means mischief from the person that means good. Had Allah Ta'ala willed, He could have put you into difficulties. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted in might and full of wisdom. Initially, when the law of the orphans had come on, then they were told that that person that eats the wealth of the orphan, he's filling fire into his belly. So the Sahaba Ikram had become extremely cautious, apprehensive, that they began to separate their wealth from the wealth of the orphans. Now, the orphans are in their care, and every item of the orphan has been separated. His property, his household items, his wealth, everything is been separated from your wealth. So obviously, this becomes quite difficult to manage, because some of the things are easy to separate. His wealth, it is easy to separate. But as far as edible things are concerned, then if it becomes a daily routine, that separate arrangements must be made for his meals. His meals are prepared separately, and that must be exclusive for him, then it becomes difficult to manage a home. So Allah Ta'ala says, the principle that you have to keep in mind is do that which is best in their interest. So if you are mixing your food with their food, like when a jamaat is going out, then everybody contributes towards a kitty, then the food is mixed, the money for the kitty is mixed, and the food is prepared in one pot, and everybody eats thereof. Now, to separate and to say, well, each person has spent 10 rands, then he must have an equal proportion of the food, becomes quite difficult, because one day a person is in the mood, and he eats well, and the next day he doesn't eat well. Now what do we do with the leftover food? Going to leave it, the next day he doesn't want to eat of it, obviously it goes to waste. So Allah Ta'ala says, that as long as you have this in mind, that you are doing that which is in the best interest of the orphan. You're not looking for your advantage, but you are looking for his advantage, what is in his interest. This is how you are operating and conducting yourself. So these minor discrepancies thereafter, Allah Ta'ala overlooks. You mix up your food with their food. One day you eat more and the other day he eats more. So these type of discrepancies Allah Ta'ala has overlooked. So long as you mean well, Allah Ta'ala knows the one who means mischief from the one that means good. And had Allah Ta'ala willed, he would have put you into difficulties. And remember, Allah Ta'ala is exalted in might and full of wisdom.